Seated. A few weeks ago, not that long ago, when we had the snow and it was really cold one of those days, just toward the end of all of that, I had the opportunity to watch my granddaughters. And we had a pops and granddaughters day, a few hours. We got all excited about going out and playing in the snow. I had all kinds of things planned, and so I took the kids outdoors and got them all bundled up, and so we can show some pictures of what we did that day. And we played in the snow and slid down the hill, and we found some icicles and all that kind of thing. And then after that was all done, we went into the house. And again, I had all these things planned out. Any one of these activities, a whole bunch of time, but you got to lay the tracks for these kids. And so we went in the house and we had a tea party and dinner. We had lemonade tea, and we had an ice castle underneath the dining room table, and we just had a wonderful time there. And then we played Don't Spill the Beans, and then we played Play-Doh, and just all kinds of things going on. And children that age, their ages are 2 and 5, you just have to keep moving because they have difficulty staying focused. You know, on some employment opportunities, they have the annual review, and one of the things they may check off is, is the employee able to stay focused? Or even children at school, they have parent-teacher conferences, and they say, is the child able to stay focused, to stay on task? Well, as we continue through the book of Hebrews, the Jews that the writer of the book is addressing were tempted to go back to the Old Testament sacrificial system as opposed to staying on task with Jesus. That's what we're talking about here today. How do you stay focused? How do you stay on task when it comes to your walk with Christ? The Bible calls it persevering in the Lord. You see, the individual that trusts God for salvation through Christ is able, by God's help with his strength, to persevere, and this text is going to help you do that. So follow as I read Hebrews chapter 12. We're looking at verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Here's our take-home thought today, and that is Jesus motivates you to persevere. Jesus motivates you to persevere. His example of faithfulness, his character, his love should motivate you to stay focused, to stick by the stuff. It says there in verse 3, consider him. Now, the word consider is by way of comparison. As you know, and we're going to work our way kind of backwards through this text, but as you know, verse 1 says, therefore, in other words, in light of all of the examples of Hebrews chapter 11, consider him. Consider Jesus. These guys, they were awesome, and they have wonderful examples and testimonies, all the difficulties and trials they went through. They stayed faithful, but consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And it's so much more, that hostility that he experiences, so much greater than anything the reader experiences, which includes you and me. And you do all of this so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus motivates you to persevere. What do you think about? How does what he went through motivate you? Well, think about what he went through. Chapter 4 and verse 15, he was like in every way that you are tempted or tested, Jesus was tested. You can think about whatever temptation you have faced or experienced, Jesus was tempted in the same way. The same, not every temptation that you he faced, but every kind of temptation. And he faced that, yet without sin. He was, for all intents and purposes, called a liar. There were people who did not believe him. He was threatened to be stoned. That would be like being threatened in our culture, be threatened at gunpoint. Right? I mean, he was in with the crowds, he was speaking, and they threatened to stone him, and he was able to get away. He was mocked, he was made fun of. He was spat upon. He was bludgeoned, he was beaten. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. That's a whip that had nine strands to it with shards of rocks, sharp rocks tied at the end, and so he was whipped so that his flesh was just ripped open. And then they took a crown of thorns, and I'd imagine that they didn't just place it carefully on his head, but they probably just jammed it on his head. And then he was nailed to the cross. And it wasn't like a smooth, sanded cross, I'm sure, wood. I'm sure it was rough hewn. So that when he was nailed to that cross and he was trying to catch his breath, that it was not comfortable on his torn flesh. He went through all of that. And then on top of that, as he was dying, they jabbed a spear into his side to make sure he was dead. And then you think about the fact that on that cross, and as he descended into hell, which none of us who are believers will ever experience, he bore the weight of your sin. Think about your sin. You know, I don't know about you, but if I sin and I'm aware of it, it's kind of like, oh man, the guilt is just like, man, it weighs on you. In fact, when people get saved, oftentimes they think like they say, oh, it felt like a weight was lifted from me. Jesus bore that. It was placed upon him. All of your sin, every sin you've committed, he bore the weight of that sin, the guilt of that sin. Like you have felt that. Now multiply that times everyone in this room. And then everyone in this area, this Troy and the state and the United States and the world, past, present, and yet to come. He bore the weight of that sin on the cross. That was the most excruciating of all. And on top of that, because of that, the Father could not look upon him. The Father with whom he had perfect fellowship from eternity past could not look upon his son. And he was separated. And he descended into hell. Again, that which you and I as believers will never experience. But he descended into hell to pronounce victory over sin and death. And he rose again. Amen? But the point is here, he went through all of that. He was in all points tested like you are and I am, yet without sin. He's an example in that. So you compare all of that with what you are going through, and it's not even close to what Jesus went through. And he did it for you. So we want to look in this passage at some clarifications that provide motivation, clarifications that lead to motivations. And the first one, so that you endure, so that you don't shrink back. And the first one is follow Jesus' example. We've already been talking about Jesus. But he is the leader, the leader. Jesus leads the way. He's the one who sets the standard. So verse 2 there, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus sets the example in the nature of faith. What when we talk about faith, what are we talking about? Well, he sets the example. This statement falls on the heels of chapter 11, which describes characters of great faith. But Jesus then is the founder of that faith. He's the originator of that faith. He leads the way. He sets the example. He's the source of that faith. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." That, referring back to the faith, the salvation, the grace, it's not of you. It's why? Because we would boast about it. He is the originator. He provides that faith. It's a gift of God. He gives you the ability to believe. And he not only does that, but he's the object of your faith, the one in whom you place your trust. Your faith is founded and grounded in Jesus. There's no other name. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Faith in any other falls woefully short of Jesus. So he's the perfecter of your, the founder of your faith, but he's also the perfecter of your faith. He sets the example in exercising great faith. Now, I apologize because I didn't get to our secretary, Erica. I didn't get these verses put into you versions, but jot them down and look them up. You're welcome to follow as I read, but 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21, we talk about, okay, well, what was it like for Jesus to trust God, the Father? He sets the example, 1 Peter 2:21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The point here is, because of faith, you are willing to endure injustices if necessary. Because of faith, that's what Jesus did. He set the example. To this you were called. That if you go through injustices, you can endure too. You can just think of that in the context of the Jews who were being persecuted because they had come through Judaism, and then they turned to Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Messiah. And so they were losing their jobs. They were being persecuted in myriads of ways. And so the encouragement is, when you and I face any injustice, that we can endure. It might be an unreasonable boss. You know, you come in and talk to the boss, you're all excited. "Hey, you know, I've been thinking about this project, and I got a way that we might be able to save the company hundreds of thousands of dollars every year." And the boss says, "Listen, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We're not going to do any changes. Just forget about it." And you have a degree, or you've been highly trained. And he says, "I just want you to go to the employee break room and clean the restroom." It's like, you know, really? You know, there are those kinds of injustices. Or maybe you're a wife and your husband expects you to iron his underwear. Now, I've done some counseling and I've actually heard that. Really? That, do I have to do that? Or maybe the husband refuses to help around the house, or refuses to help with the kids, watch the kids. Refuses to lead spiritually. It'd be difficult. You know, there's those kinds of injustices that we face regularly. Or maybe it's a wife who always has something to say about what I do, and it's always negative. And yet the house looks like a dump. Just, really? Or maybe as a kid, you're thinking, "Man, my parents don't let me do anything. You know, I don't get to go have fun with my friends, or, you know, the thing is here, we think of injustices. What are some injustices that you think you, or that you have, or are facing? Maybe you have an unjust neighbor, and he's out there trimming your shrubs, and you're like, I don't like those shrubs trimmed. I don't want to see him, you know. And he's out there trimming the shrubs, and you go out and talk to him, and he says, well, they're my shrubs too. They're on the property line, and you're like, no, you know. Whatever it is, just some ways to think about injustices that you face. We all go through them. Teacher assigns homework over spring break. Ah, you got to be kidding. But the point here is you're able, even through the injustices, to stay on task, to stay focused, because Jesus has set the example. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's what you do in those situations. Now, I'm not saying be a doormat. That's not what this is talking about. It's not saying, okay, whatever. You could think about that. All of these illustrations, you say, okay, Pastor, so you think I ought to be a doormat? You know? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is find a way to bring honor and glory to God through whatever injustice you might be facing. And we're living in a culture that's crying foul on a lot of things, right? A lot of people are saying, you know, I've been treated unjustly, you know, and I have my rights. And I agree, we do have rights, and we need to stand up for rights in an appropriate way and to the honor and glory of God. Find a way. Jesus sets the example. He also sets the example in the narrative of endurance. He shows you what endurance looks like. He endured the cross. That's a reference to the physical pain of which we've spoken of here recently, or just a few moments ago. Terrible. Let's just call it what it is. Torture. He was tortured on the cross, right? So the encouragement to you and me is to endure life's challenges in spite of pain and discomfort or difficulty. Again, we're talking about endurance, right? If it wasn't difficult, you wouldn't have to endure. And he's talking about the endurance of pain. And in this life, we experience physical strain and pain and illness and maybe even persecution. Now, we don't face much physical persecution in the United States. It may come to that, but there are people all around the world, even right now, who are facing physical, they're literally being beaten and imprisoned for their faith. And again, we might not face that, but whatever physical challenge you may face, continue to be faithful for Christ. It goes on to say he was despised, or he scorned the shame of the cross, rather. He knew that he was innocent, and yet he was hanging on the cross, naked for all to see. And the point here in that he despised that shame, or he scorned the shame, has the idea of it had no ill effect upon him. He was still willing to go through all of that for a purpose, and that's to save your soul. So the encouragement here, as Jesus was mocked and he was ridiculed, and you just imagine the names he was called, and you know, even on the cross in the scriptures, we say, you know, if he's truly the Son of God, you know, he can call, you know, he can come down from the cross. And the challenge for you and me is to endure life's challenges in spite of emotional distresses. And so much of life involves disappointments. You have certain plans and it didn't work out, or you wanted this job. You put all your eggs into that basket and you weren't the one that was hired. You were planning a trip and it fell through. Somebody got sick, or, you know, the economy shut down, right? And some lost their jobs. So there are disappointments, there are misunderstandings, there are miscues. And the challenge is to follow Christ's example, to endure, to be faithful. So Jesus sets the example. He sets the example also of a proper motive. Of a proper motive. It says, who for the joy that was set before him. That's motivation. For the joy that was set before him. Now, we tend to think of, he did it, we tend to think in this way. He did it all because of the joy, the relief that was going to come. My understanding of the Greek text here is that word for the joy set before him is that over against the joy that was before him, he endured. Now, the idea there, the thinking is, putting it in our vernacular, he didn't do it for the money, right? He had a bigger picture going on here. It wasn't for the selfishness of his joy. Oh, finally, that's done and it's over with. That's not what you have here. What he had in mind was the salvation of your souls and mine. That was what he was looking ahead to. And so he knew that there were eternal matters at stake. And as a result of all of that, he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The one member with whom he was separated, he had perfect fellowship with his Father from eternity past. And yet, during this time, he was separated from the Father, but he was looking ahead to being seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father in light of salvation of all who would believe. It's just a greater understanding of what's going on here in the text. And the encouragement to you and me is, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you face, this isn't all there is. And I don't know about you, but I look at what's going on in our culture this morning and I just like, whoa, it sure looks like Jesus is coming soon. And that's my prayer. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, it's like, wow. And how quickly things have changed. The kinds of things our culture is talking about and allowing. That which is good is now evil. And that which was evil is now called good. It's just all around us. You know, I just think of the whole abortion issue. You know, it's just like it's something that, you know, should be accepted. Think of homosexuality and transgender and all of that. It's just to be accepted. And God's word makes it clear that which is evil is now called good. So how do we endure that kind of thing, those kinds of things that's going on around us? Well, for the joy that's set before us. It's we know that there's something greater there. And one of the things that can help us endure is what Pastor Nate encouraged you and me to do in light of Easter. Realize that there are people around us who are struggling and they need salvation through Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection as we do every Sunday, right? But Easter is going to be a wonderful celebration. Let's reach out to people who need Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for all the injustices in our culture, in our lives. So follow Jesus' example. Here's another motivation, and that is follow others' example. Other people who have followed the leader, Jesus, they did it well, they did it successfully, and so can you. You know, it's always easier to do something if you have seen somebody else do it. I used to rock climb, so, you know, I don't know if I could do that or not. And they say, well, oh, Joe did it yesterday. Oh, well, if Joe did it, then I can certainly do it, you know. Or some of you guys like ice fishing, and it's like, man, I'm not so sure if I want to step out on that ice, you know, because I don't know. And then some other guy comes along with his bucket and his fishing, and he goes, hey, guys, how you doing? He walks right out onto it. It's like, oh, okay. You know, I guess it's safe, so I'm going to go out there too, see. It's always easier when you know someone has gone before you. That's what we have in this text. It's a motivation as they've set the examples, they have endured the hardship. You may think, oh, it's not fair. I can't believe it. Why, oh God, why, oh why? And yet God says here, look at all of these people who have gone before you and have done so successfully. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So you have this picture of walking into the sports arena. And as an athlete, you're preparing to run the race of life. And you're surrounded by the spectators who have gone before you. And you're looking and you're thinking, oh, there's Abel and there's Enoch and there's Noah and there's Abraham and there's, oh, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. And Isaac and Jacob and then you have Moses. Hi, Moses. Oh, thanks for coming and thanks for watching. And then you have David, and then you have Barak, Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Thank you, Daniel, for coming and watching. Quenched the power of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And you, they are witnesses for you. They don't literally stand here and watch you run the race, but they are witnesses in the sense that they have gone before you. And if they've done it, and they've done it successfully, so can you. Motivation to encourage you to endure whatever it is you are facing. They are witnesses to the fact that you can persevere to the end because they did it. Their faith is genuine, provided for salvation and victorious living. You have that example. And the context, as a reminder, is that of professing Jews who were tempted to fall away. Don't go back. Look unto Jesus. Look at all the witnesses that have gone before you. Don't go back. It also reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10, and we don't have time to go through the entire text, but you might jot that down. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 15, you kind of have a negative. You have all of these examples, but then you have some negative examples of those who did shrink back. It talks about Moses leading them through the wilderness. And he says, most of them God was not pleased with. Don't be like those who shrunk back. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 of them died in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation that has come upon you but such as is common to man. These things that are described in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as well as Hebrews 11, these things are common to man. How do you endure? Because God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can bear, but will with that test provide a way of escape so that you can bear up under it. You can do it because others have done it. Therefore, verse 14, flee from idolatry. In other words, put your focus on God. Turn away from that which is going to hold you back and focus upon the Lord. And in Hebrews 11, he illustrates the faith of the many heroes of the faith that persevered and pleased God. And because of that, if you are tempted to struggle and to sin, to go back, look unto Jesus as your example, as well as others as your example. Verse 1, therefore, again, working our way back through the text, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the final clarification, and I struggled with this point, and I thought, I'm just going to leave it, and I'll explain it, and that is, get ready, get set, go! All right? Get ready. In other words, we're going to talk about preparation. Let us also, like the Old Testament examples did, our Old Testament examples did, prepare by lightening the load. Prepare. Get ready. Prepare by lightening the load. Lay aside every weight. This, my encouragement is to diminish distractions. This lay aside every weight is not referring to specific sins. It's talking about excess weight, excess encumbrances. It may not be sin. There are things that can trip you up. You know, if you think of a runner, you don't usually think of an overweight runner. Because it talks here about, you know, just getting rid of excess flesh even. All right? He's talking about things that just can encumber you. It may not be bad things. It may be a hobby. You know, I like my hobbies, but I need to keep them in perspective, make sure I have right priorities. It may be a relationship that's keeping you from living for the Lord. It may be overcommitment. You know, you say yes to everything, and so you get so involved that you're not effective. Paul says, this one thing I do. On the other hand, it might be being lazy. You know, he who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that's sin. The encouragement here is to think through things that encumber you, that trip you up, hold you back, weigh you down, rather. The next area is, he says, let us also lay aside every weight, may or may not be sin, and sin which clings so closely. So he's talking about specific sin, and he's saying, repent of entangling sins. You know, if you have a serious competition, and I say serious because some of these 5Ks, you know, you guys got guys dressed up like Big Bird and, you know, and running in bathrobes and stuff like that. The guys that are serious, I mean, they strip down to the bare minimum, right? They may have sweats on, they're taking their sweats off, right? And they're you don't run a race with a bathrobe, right? It's going to trip you up. You're going to get entangled in that. And he's saying, get rid of the sin that entangles you, that clings so closely. And so here's the challenge that each of us can think, what is it that keeps me from being faithful? What is it? Is there something in my life that pulls me back? And it may be bitterness, it may be pride. There may be something from your past that hurt, and you're bitter toward that individual or that situation. Maybe bitter with God. Can't believe you did that to me. And you've never dealt with it. You've never confessed that and settled that before God. It may be pride. It may be anger. It may be gossip. Maybe substance abuse. You can list the substances to which you are addicted. He's saying here that sin that clings to you so closely, and at the click of my fingers, clap of my hands, you could probably think of what that is. Maybe some place you're stopping on the way home from work and you know you shouldn't. It may be something that you're looking at that you know you shouldn't. The statistics on pornography are staggering. And so, and one of the reasons is because it's so readily available. You know, we used to say, you know, at the click of a button on a computer, Well, you know, we're holding handheld computers, right? And I think that may be one reason why they're coming up with bigger cell phone screens, right? Smartphones. So you can see the pictures better, or whatever it is. It's just so accessible. Maybe something like that. And here, if you're going to endure, if you're going to persevere, you have to deal with that. And this is a good time to just evaluate our hearts before God and say, you know what, I'm not going to continue in that. God, help me. In order to stay on task, in order to stay focused on your walk with the Lord, you need, he says, lay it aside, confess, repent of those things. And you know, you think about the blessing of being unencumbered. I've led several people to the Lord, and they say, oftentimes they say, oh, it's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders, right? You know, you remember when you came to Jesus? Wow. It's just like, you know, wow, this is awesome. It's the picture that you have here. So, run with the determination to endure. It takes a commitment. It takes a commitment. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So stick to the disciplines of the Christian life. Again, asking God to help you, but meet with God faithfully, regularly, every day, and spend time in prayer. I just read an article. So far as I know, I don't know this man's spiritual state, but he's a Jew. And if I said his name, you would know who he was. Many of you, anyway. But he says he spends his day in prayer, and much of his prayer is thanksgiving for all of the things with which he has been blessed. The point here is to allow Jesus to consume your entire life. As we run with the determination to endure. And any endeavor takes commitment. You're going to start an exercise program, you got to commit to it. I've worked with individuals who say, yeah, I want to do the kind of exercise that you do, and I do it so I can eat an extra piece of pizza once in a while. But I'm not an extreme athlete or anything like that. I'm just saying that I've had people say, how do you do it? I said, you just got to commit to it. You got to do it faithfully. You got to do it regularly. And so they're like, okay. And they get out there and they lift weights one day, and then that hurt. And they don't want to do it again. You got to make a commitment. Paul says, run the race in 1 Corinthians 9 so as to win the prize. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So run with a purpose by focusing on the goal. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Again, the picture is the arena. As you step into that arena and the crowd cheers, and you're all excited about all the people who have gone before you, and you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, so that he could be set at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Stay focused. Stay focused in your run for the Lord. Obviously, in your relationship with God, you focus on Jesus. You walk with him. You talk with him, making him an integral part of your everyday. If you're married, you make Jesus the central focus of your relationship in that marriage. You do your part in making that the central focus of your relationship. If you have children, you're making disciples of your children. You want to, it's not a matter of, I take them to church and that's good enough, let them decide for themselves. No, you are commanded by God, by Jesus, to go and make disciples. Start with your family, start with your kids, bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, so that they can make wise decisions So, and they see you making wise decisions. Are you making wise decisions? Well, you do that by focusing on Jesus. Jesus then is central to your ministry. Why do you do what you do through the ministry, whether it's First Baptist Church or whether it's out in the community? Whatever you're doing it to the glory of God, focusing on Jesus, not to make yourself feel better or make people say, wow, they're such a good person. It's because of Jesus. I love that song, I'm Just a Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. That's what we need to do. Make disciples. And so then you do that not only in your ministry, but in your work, as well as your play, your hobbies, or whatever it is that you do in your spare time. Jesus is central to everything. You look into Jesus. And as you do that, you're able to persevere. You're able to stay focused. Let's ask for his help. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these powerful truths here that help us, because we do stumble, we do struggle, we do fall, but if we're staying focused, we can get up, we can look unto Jesus, and we can continue on. Help us, I pray, and with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage everyone to just consider these truths here today. How God has spoken to you through his word. And how are you going to respond in light of what God has said? We encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that through the cards outside the worship center here. Or through YouVersion or through our website. Fill out a connection card. Jot down how God has spoken to you. Maybe it is the matter of salvation. I don't focus on Jesus because I don't know how. We want to help you with that. Maybe it's a matter of a sin, a besetting sin, something that holds you back and you're just struggling at overcoming. And hey, you might jot down, I need some help with that. Maybe just pray that I will grow in the Lord. I don't know. We'd just like to hear from you. Jot that down. If it's personal, private, check for pastors only. You can place your connection card in the offering receptacle. Thank you for your faithful giving. That's just such a blessing as our ministry is able to continue because of the faithful giving of God's people as we work together to make disciples. Again, ask for God's help and his strength in and through it all. Lord, help us to stay focused upon you. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your example, your encouragement, your motivation, your strength. And thank you that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.